The Truth News Network. It takes the media a few weeks to catch up to the talk shows. Congratulations, you're on the cutting edge of the truth.
TNN,
The Truth News Network. And your man on point is Dan Newman.
I'm Dan Newman, you're on point with me today. And you're going to be sharing today's podcast with friends and family members. We're on the cusp of really big stuff happening in Washington, D.C. You know, it happens every day. Somebody in the federal government arbitrarily figures out they're going to have the authority and are going to ignore lawbreaking of every kind. Whether that lawbreaking is the selling or using of marijuana, which doing so is a federal offense, crossing American borders without legal authority, which is a federal offense, passing along classified government information and documents to, let's say, an outside media organization, or using open source or unsecured computer or other electronic devices to disseminate classified information, like in emails, all violations of a federal law. Apparently, these and others are committed every day across the United States, yet more often than not, we are seeing and hearing cases where nothing is being done. Federal authorities are ignoring this lawbreaking. So what's happened to the enforcement of law in the United States? That's a good question. Aren't we, as a nation, established on the very rule of law, the premise that the Constitution was and is a template on which government was established and is to function, especially regarding the enforcement of all laws? The rule of law, you've heard it a bunch. In its simplest form, the rule of law means this: nobody, not you, not me, not the President of the United States, not any senator, any representative in the House of Representatives, nobody in the federal government, nobody in the FBI, nobody in the Supreme Court is above the law. U.S. law is the foundation for our development through a couple of centuries now of peaceful, equitable, and prosperous society. For the rule of law to work, there's got to be equality under the law. There's got to be transparency in the law, an independent judiciary, and access to legal remedy for everybody. Yet, think about this. About 57% of the world's population lives outside the shelter of the law, any law. And nobody has the covering of a legal system like those of us in the United States. That 57% of the world's population that lives outside the shelter and the protection of law, that's about 5 billion people who are struggling for basic human rights every day. Just think about that, folks. We are so blessed that we are a nation of laws. American citizens and everybody who comes into our country have access immediately to that rule of law. Even those who cross into the U.S. illegally, when they step across the southern border, according to the Constitution as determined by the U.S. Supreme Court, they get pretty much the same rights you and I have. That's a bit of a paradox. They're illegal, but they have rights. Once here, every person is granted certain rights, and then they have to adhere to U.S. law. The rule of law is critical to a just society and democracy. It dictates that laws of the land got to be transparent, they've got to be known to everyone, and they must be applied to everybody. No one in any position or any status of wealth who has any title can be held above the law, and government decisions must be predictable because they follow known legal principles and encoded rules known as laws. Every citizen of the country is entitled to know beforehand what's legal and what's not. For most of the 19th century, America was far ahead of the rest of the world in its consistent and thorough efforts to adhere to the rule of law and strive toward equal opportunity for every citizen, regardless of class, wealth, or title. While politicians and individuals acting in self-interest have frequently violated this key principle. We're going to talk about a few of those in just a few minutes, folks. It is crazy how much of that has gone on, and it seems to be happening more and more every day. Historically here, the courts in the 19th century were able to correct back to founding principles when cases came before them. If applying the law of the land results in an amazingly unfair or unjust outcome in a particular set of facts, courts are able to restore balance and respect for the rule of law through the principles of equity. That's why you have a judiciary that's a separate but co-equal branch of government. They've got to be independent, too. And it seems like, beginning in the Obama administration, Barack Obama realized Democrats were losing voters. They were losing constituents. And so, in an effort to keep their philosophies on top after he left the White House, he began to appoint very liberal federal judges that would begin a process known as doing legal work, lawmaking, from the bench, rather than having the U.S. Congress, that is that third separate but co-equal branch of government that are constitutionally the only branch that can make laws. If you can't get Congress to make the laws, Obama said, we'll get judges to do that. The rub in all this for Americans, what's the complaint that we all have about the law? It's not enforced equally, or in some cases, it's not enforced at all. How many instances can you name where lawbreakers, primarily at the federal level, are caught in the act but pay nothing, no penalty at all for their crimes? Can you name a few? Let's talk about four. Just four. Lots more, you know that. The obvious one, James Comey, fired FBI director. Among other things, he transferred classified documents to a member of the media for the express purpose of releasing that information to the public. Folks, that's a felony violation of a federal statute. The FBI director did that. He broke the law. What's happened to James Comey for that? Nothing. He also lied under oath to Congress multiple times, which is also a criminal violation. And then there's Hillary. Ms. Clinton broke all kind of laws surrounding her use of that private email server. When she was Secretary of State, she was passing out emails left and right, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, that were transmitted on that server, which had never been checked by the State Department IT department. It had never been classified as a classified electronic vehicle to transfer legally classified information, and yet she used it over and over and over again. Subsequent to the FBI's investigation that we all know about, Clinton sent numerous emails from that server that the FBI concluded were intercepted and forwarded to a foreign server that belongs to somebody or some entity that we don't even know, illegally, and it was overseas. Her illegal acts on that alone were bad enough, but it didn't end there. She or others under her direction destroyed cell phones and other electronic devices like laptops that had been used for government business illegally instead of turning those over to authorities. Everybody knows all of that was being done to hide stuff. All kinds of stuff. We don't know what it was. The FBI has uncovered some of it, and they found some of those emails on other devices and have done investigations work and found out that those acts were indeed illegal. And there is no telling how many of Ms. Clinton's emails were picked up by U.S. adversaries overseas. Her boss, President Obama, while he was president, he communicated via emails with then Secretary of State Clinton while knowing he was doing so on her illegal and unauthorized and uncertified server. The president used a made-up Gmail email account he opened with no one knowing about it. All communications of any kind, by or with a U.S. president, are by law classified. His doing so for several years with Ms. Clinton back and forth, his doing so violated federal laws. And the fourth, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Ms. Rice, using her position in the White House, authorized the National Security Agency to release the names of Trump associates who were caught up in communications with foreigners. Here's how it works. Legally, the NSA will monitor and record conversations of people overseas with people in the United States. They do that legally. Now, when that happens, they're surveilling the person on the other side of the ocean. It's against the law for the NSA to release the names of the Americans who are in those conversations. Susan Rice released names of Americans. That's called unmasking. It's against the law. She is the one who, through surveillance telephone conversations, released information regarding General Michael Flynn, who was later convicted of lying to the FBI. When Americans see and hear the obvious illegal acts committed like these by those and others in the highest echelons of the U.S. government, who are supposed to be held to the same responsible acts, and when they break the law, they're supposed to get treated just like every other American, it's disheartening to know all four of these politicians we mentioned above, that include a U.S. president, or apparently, at least for now, above the rule of law. Think about this now. A member of the Navy, you remember Christian Saucier, age 28, out of Arlington, Vermont? He was convicted of taking pictures of classified spaces, instrument, and equipment inside the USS Alexandria. That was a sub, a nuclear submarine, on which he was stationed. He simply wanted to send pictures of his workplace to his friends. Those photos were classified. Based on that prosecution and his one criminal act, folks, he went to jail. He had to be pardoned by President Trump. He went to jail. Comey, Clinton, Obama, and Susan Rice, every one of them broke the same law that Saucier did. Not a one of them has even been in a courtroom. They've not been charged with anything. They've not been questioned, interrogated for anything regarding those crimes. Yet, a U.S. Navy individual went to jail. So, what's going on? Why are powerful political elites in America given preferential treatment? How does a former U.S. Senator, then Secretary of State, candidate for president, skate by and thumbs her nose at the rule of law, has no accountability for her illegal acts? How does a FBI director, he's fired now, but even then, he released classified information that ended up in the media. He's never been charged. A national security advisor from the White House did the exact same thing, broke the same laws, and she put Michael Flynn in the bullseye of the FBI, and he was convicted of a process crime. Nothing he was being investigated for turned up to be wrong or illegal. But he told a different story in two different conversations, they say. And that's even being questioned. The two FBI agents that questioned him say he did not commit a crime. Yet, he lost his house, spent almost $1 million in legal fees defending himself for a process crime. How does a sitting president, over a period of years, transfer and receive classified information back and forth with his Secretary of State on a non-classified and non-secured email server, knowing all the time that he was breaking the law? How did each of them do it? No accountability for their acts. Now, it gets a little deeper. If you're listening to this, the people that are reading it on the blog post have a video, but I want you to listen to James Comey. Notice his fake outrage and his demonization by James Comey of Donald Trump. All the while, Comey knew himself that he had broken numerous laws. This describes and illustrates their amazing audacity.
What impact does it have when the president calls Michael Cohen a rat, someone who's cooperating with an investigation, and questions how his office was raided by the FBI?
It undermines the rule of law. This is the president of the United States calling a witness who has cooperated with his own Justice Department a rat. Say that again to yourself at home, and remind yourself where we have ended up. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is about what does it mean to be an American? What are the things that we care about above our policy disputes, which are important? There's a set of values that represent the glue of this country, and they are under attack by things just like that. We have to stop being numb to it. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you need to stand on your feet, overcome your shame, and say something.
He believes he did nothing wrong, and he's browbeating the president who called his lawyer, Michael Cohen, who testified about some things that turned out to be untrue. Michael Cohen, in fact, was a convicted liar. Comey is backing Cohen for what he did and saying President Trump is a tyrant. James Comey himself was getting away, at least so far, with committing felony crimes. The rule of law, it's not a rule of lawyers. We're going to talk about that. Gets deeper, folks. Sit tight. Back right after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN, the Truth News Network.
Out for some Lay's and you face a test. Which tasty chip will be the best? Sour cream and onion, smoky barbecue. Cheddar, sour cream, salt and vinegar too. You sample them all cause the crisp is so good on your lips. Yeah. You left your wallet at home, but now you have a new best friend.
The many flavors of Lay's chips. One taste and you're in love.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes. And others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
In the clown car of the deep state, you will never find a greater den of scum and villainy. You need a hero. Here again, blaster in hand, is Dan Newman.
And boy, I feel like using that blaster on these politicians today. It's really getting deep, folks. The rule of written law is one of six pillars of the American Republic. And it seems like all these guys and girls, they've totally forgotten about this. Pillar one. It's democracy. We involve the greatest number of people in making government decisions anywhere in the world. Rather than trust in an elite group of quote-unquote experts, at least that's what it's supposed to be. The second pillar is free markets. We involve the greatest number of people in making economic decisions rather than trust in just central planners. We have a government and they help us, but you and I in the free market are the ones that decide what we buy, what we sell, how much we're going to pay for it. The third pillar, and this has been demonized, but listen, it's federalism. We put government decisions closer to the people in order to involve a more diverse set of decision makers who can experiment with different paths for different communities' needs. It's not the same in Dubuque, Louisiana, as it is to Sonoma, California. Things are a lot different, and so we let the local government and the district there, the federal district that has a congressman or a congresswoman, we let them decide what's best for them. The fourth pillar, tradition. We invoke the wisdom of the larger sample of multiple generations. There's a bunch of generations and many generations of different people in America. We let them sample by trial and error on matters of common human experience, rather than relying on the more limited number of people alive at any one particular time. The fifth, which ties together democracy, federalism, and tradition, is deliberation. We have a republic. It's not a pure democracy, and we've talked about that before. A republic is quite a bit different from democracy. Democratic ideals, but we elect a group of people. And it's a republic that goes to Washington, 535 of them, instead of each one of us having to vote on everything that comes before Congress, We have representatives. We're a representative republic. We do that so that government decisions are not the process of panic, but are openly debated and resolved with support that is deep. It's geographically wide, from coast to coast, from border to border, and enduring over a series of elections, so that continuing to enforce today's laws tomorrow has got some legitimacy. You know, and the whole deal is, this is what blows my mind. Some people in Washington don't like laws. That's why they're not enforced. We talked about that. Well, we have a process. If you don't like the laws, change the laws. You 535 members of Congress can do just that. This president sits up there begging for Congress to fix problems in the law. But instead, Congress, members of Congress, and some are lawless in this regard, would rather not fix the laws, but just tell the feds, ignore them. The sixth pillar, without it, the other five are absolutely worthless. We have the stable rule of written law so that the democratically enacted decisions reduced to written law by those 535 people with their due deliberation. The laws that they put together are honored until overturned by that exact same process and not easily discarded by a narrow professional elite. That elite is comprised of people like James Comey, fired FBI director, Chuck Schumer, minority director, leader in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker in the House of Representatives. Very, very heavyweight lawmakers who don't do their job, which is to put stuff on the floor of the respective houses for deliberation, for discussion, for arguing even, but coming up with a consensus, what's best for America, everybody in America. And if the laws that are there aren't good, they should change them or throw them out and do some new laws, pass some new laws. But that's not what they do. They found that they can just ignore some laws and skate by. This is not the system that was designed by George Washington or Jefferson or Adams or Hamilton or Madison or Franklin or any of the other founding fathers. It's a system designed by deliberate compromises among all of them, ratified by the people of their day and changed repeatedly since by the people of the U.S. when the need for change has become apparent. And see, this class of political elites in Washington are ignoring that process totally. They're spitting in the faces of those founding fathers like Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Franklin. Taken all together, the American system is designed to follow a path right down the middle between the self-absorbed elites in Washington, yep, they're up there, and the self-interest of a sometimes disenfranchised group of middle Americans who occasionally resort to acting as a mob. And we do that sometime. It's also designed to steer a path between the ancient rule of the past and the fickle moods of today. It's supposed to keep us on the straight and narrow, folks. We converse with each other. We explain our ideas. We get people to either agree with us or they get us to agree with them. But we find consensus. That's what a representative republic has to do to survive. The people, you and me, remain sovereign. And the people, you and me, can change any law they like if they like in large enough numbers over a broad enough area across a sustained period of time. That's what's supposed to happen. The people, we're represented by the 535 representatives sent to represent each community, each district, and each state. And we have the constitutional right to change the law in the manner dictated by the U.S. Constitution and nothing else. If we don't abide by the provisions of the U.S. Constitution, we're no better than Venezuela. And they can't even buy toilet paper. They're eating food out of garbage cans. And 10 years ago, it was, per capita, the wealthiest country on the face of the earth. Why are they no longer? ignoring the leadership in the country, ignoring the rule of law. No one has the right to ignore or unilaterally change enforcement of any duly passed law in our country, period. Least of all are the members of the federal government. They work for you. They work for me. You need to speak out. You need to talk to your member of Congress. Talk to your state legislator. Talk to your governor. Talk to your mayor. We need to be the people again. We need to, in unison, find consensus. No, we won't all agree on everything. But what we must agree on is the Constitution pulls together the rule of law that every American must abide by. Thank you for being with me today. I love talking about our nation. I love our nation. And I think most of the people in Washington, D.C. do so too. They just get their attention drawn away by stuff. There's no more important stuff than the rule of law. That's what makes us different from the Soviet Union, which is now back to Russia, or Red China, which is now back to being just China. We've always been the United States of America. That's good enough for me. What about you? Thanks for being here. We're going to do it again. Make sure you come back. We're here just about every day at truthnewsnet.org. Be here with us next time.
Speaking the truth, the mainstream press will not. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.